Okay, good morning everyone. How are you all doing?
Slow.
Hungry? Already? It's not even lunchtime yet. Well, I mean, you don't really eat breakfast that much anyways, right? I don't know, I had something before I came here, so I'm a little bit okay. Well, welcome everyone to Thatcher Park. This is something that our church does every single year, probably around August time. And I think this year we sort of pushed it over like a week later than when we usually do it, because I guess like we had hopes that like a lot of the college students would be back by now and can be able to join us. So like, we'd like to welcome back to the college students that are here with us. So we're happy that you're here. Also, special welcome to Frankie and Tiffany's family who are also here visiting. So if you haven't had a chance to introduce yourself to them, be sure to do so sometime. And also, welcome to our new students from the Albany Academies. I know that they just came in and they're going to be starting a new school year here too. So they're in the back, so also get a chance to introduce yourself to them sometime. So welcome everyone. So for those of you who may not know, I'm Pastor Ivan. I oversee the English ministry here at the church. Now, before we begin, I'd like to take a poll, okay, just to get an idea of what your interests are in terms of movies. Raise your hand if you like to watch comedy movies, like slapstick.
What's slapstick?
It's a type of comedy, but...
No, I think you would
like slapstick. What about if you like to watch horror movies? Anyone like to watch horror movies? No? Okay, how about action movies, like superhero movies and such? Okay. Documentaries?
Yeah.
I like to watch documentaries. Wow, all of us are nerds here.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, how about romance?
Yes!
Rom-coms.
What's rom-com?
Romantic comedy.
Okay. What else am I missing here?
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi. Star Wars, Star Trek. Yeah. No. Okay, maybe not as much of a nerd that I thought that you guys are. Okay, how many of you like to watch anime movies? Japanese movies, Japanese cartoons. So recently, Joyce and I had been binge watching on a lot of Studio Ghibli movies. So like Totoro, Kiki's Delivery Service, Castle in the Sky, Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle. That's good. They're two different movies. They're separate ones. Have you guys watched any of those before? They actually are old. Some of them are as old as like 1986, I think. Yeah, so older than like probably a lot of us here. Older than me, sure. There is actually one recent Studio Ghibli movie that came out in 2013. It's called The Tale of Princess Kaguya. I don't know if any of you have watched that one. But it's based off of a Japanese folk tale. In this movie, there was a bamboo cutter. And as he was cutting bamboo, he found a small little miniature figure. It's like a small, like a little being. And he thought that it was some sort of a god or a divine being. And then eventually this being turned into a baby, like an infant. So he took it home to his wife and they raised it as their own child. But the thing about this baby is that it grows really, really fast. So like she like within like a couple of days already became like probably as old as like a 10-year-old. Like that's how quick that this baby was growing. So they named her Kaguya. And later on, the bamboo cutter and his wife I guess like somehow realized that this was like a gift from the heavens, and the heavens wanted them to raise her as a princess. So somehow the heavens had provided the bamboo cutter with like a lot of gold. I mean, one day he was just cutting a bamboo shoot, and it just gold spewed out of it. So he knew that he was to use that gold, you know, like to leave like the countryside, go into the city, buy, use that money to buy like a mansion and all the clothes and everything, and to prepare it for this their little child, their girl, who supposedly came from the heavens to be a princess. So after they had moved into like this new mansion, the girl wasn't really acting like a princess at all. So the parents used some of the money to hire a woman who had worked in the emperor's palace. And this woman was named Lady Sagami. And she was a teacher. In a sense, that she's almost like a tutor, some sort of mentor for the girl named Kaguya, to be able to teach her what is the etiquette on how to be a princess. You know, there are certain ways that you have to position your body. There are certain ways that you have to greet people, especially when they come forward to you. As a princess, you're supposed to practice the Japanese writings and calligraphy, and you have to learn how to play like the different like traditional Japanese instruments. So this Lady Sagami spent a lot of time preparing and trying to teach this little girl, Kaguya, to know how to have all these manners of how to be a princess. But unfortunately, like she wasn't really too listening. Like, she always wants to play. She really liked to fool around. There was one time where Lady Sagami had thoughts that she was really like late at night, busy practicing the calligraphy. But when she looked over her shoulder, she was actually drawing pictures and stuff. Oh, no. So, I mean, the point is, for this girl, Kaguya, she had a need. She needed to learn how to be a princess and the etiquettes and the mannerisms behind it. So she needed a teacher. She needed a tutor. She needed a mentor to help her grow in that direction. Sort of like how many of us today, if we have a specific need in our life, okay? Let's say that you've learned violin or some sort of instrument for a while, but then you come to a certain level where you need to improve. So usually, I mean, your parents would hire you a private teacher, a private tutor to help you to improve in your violin playing or whatever instruments that you like to play. So you need that tutor, you need that teacher to help you grow in that area. Or maybe you are struggling in a particular subject in school. Like, you're really bad at math, and you're like a very bad Asian or something like that. So your parents are very devastated, so they had to hire someone to tutor you so that you can be able to do well in math. When I was at RPI, I started off like studying engineering, and there was a course that was called Strength of Materials, and I was doing very horribly at that. So I took money, and I actually paid another student to spend many hours to try to tutor me. And unfortunately, after like spending so much time and after like going through like two exams, I still ended up getting a C in that course. So, I mean, I still tried, but regardless, it was helpful to have someone, to have this tutor, this mentor to be there to help us grow. So we are willing to find help. We are willing to find a tutor and willing to find some sort of mentor to be able to help us grow in a certain area that we need. But when it comes to our own spiritual life, when it comes to our own relationship with God, do we reach out to someone for help? Do we reach out and try to find someone to be our teacher, to be our tutor, to be a mentor in our spiritual life? I mean, our spiritual life, our relationship with God, and as a Christian, if we have a relationship with God, we know that God had loved us so much, and He doesn't want us to be separated from Him because of our sinful nature. I mean, that's why He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, So that's why for those of us who accept him and believe in him as our personal savior, that's why we can have a relationship with him. That's why we can go to heaven with him. So as a Christian, we all understand this. And God wants us to grow in our relationship with him. You know, we care so much about other needs in our life, mostly about our physical needs, and that's very important. But our spiritual life is also important as well, if not even more important than our physical needs. Because if our relationship with God is strong, then we know that God will also provide for our physical needs. So if we're willing to find a tutor and we're willing to find help and a mentor for other physical needs and other physical areas, how come we aren't so willing, or it's not really the first thing that we think in our mind, to find a spiritual mentor or some sort of help when it comes to our own spiritual life? See, God wants us to grow closer to him, and he has given us people in the church. He's given us one another to be able to help us grow. So today, we're going to be looking at the example of a man named Jethro. And Jethro acted as some sort of spiritual mentor, some sort of spiritual tutor for Moses. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to take them out. Turn to Exodus chapter 18. If you don't have a Bible with you, we have a few Bibles in the back. Just raise your hand and Auntie Tracy will get one to you. So as you're opening up to that page and as you are getting a Bible, I mean, I guess I do want to describe how, like, you know, a lot of times when we feel that we can be very lonely, right? We can feel that no one really seems to care about us. We go through a lot of things in this life, a lot of trials, a lot of hardships, and it would be nice, it would be great if there's someone who can be there to really care for us and care about us. So this is part of the reason why having a spiritual mentor is important. Okay, is everyone here? Exodus chapter 18. Before I read, I'm going to pray for us. So would you bow your heads with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful Sunday that we can gather together here at Thatcher Park. And although this is something that's different than our usual Sundays, but we pray that we can be able to enjoy our time with one another. We pray that we can be able to listen to your word and see how important it is to have a spiritual mentor in our life. We also pray that you would protect us later on as we have fun playing games and also enjoying the lunch with the rest of the church later on. Father, we just want to lift you up and thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Okay, we're going to be going through the whole book of Exodus, or the whole chapter of Exodus 18. No, we're not going to go through the whole book of Exodus. Whole chapter of Exodus 18. But we're going to read it in parts. So let's start by reading the first 7 verses of chapter 18. Please follow along as I read. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home, along with her 2 sons. The name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. And the name of the other, Eleazar, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. And when he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and 2 sons with her. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. So the main question we're going to be answering today is this. What should we look for in a spiritual mentor? What should we look for in a spiritual mentor? There are going to be three types of things that we should look for when we are looking for a spiritual mentor. So here, as I mentioned, that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, acted as a spiritual mentor to Moses. So at this time, Jethro was a priest of Midian. Look at verse 1 again. It says, Jethro, the priest of Midian. So this shows that Jethro is a priest. He has a strong relationship with God. You know, as a priest, he's supposed to be like a mediator between the people and between God. So in order for someone to be in that position, this person must have a strong relationship with God. So I want to give us the first thing here. What should we do what should we look for in a spiritual mentor? Here's the first point. We should find someone who you can trust and who has a strong relationship with God. I'll say that again. We should find someone that you can trust who has a strong relationship with God. So as we said, Jethro has a strong relationship with God as a priest. And Moses definitely trusted Jethro because, you know, after all, he was his father-in-law. So when Jethro came to visit Moses, Jethro had taken his wife and her two children back to Moses. So like Moses at this time was finally reunited with his wife and with his wife and with his two children. And the reason why they were apart, reason why they were away, and I guess it's because a while ago, you know, when God had called Moses from the burning bush to go to Egypt and to lead his people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You know, Moses, I guess, probably thought that this was probably like a dangerous thing. So that's why he had left his wife. He'd left his two sons in the care of his father-in-law so that he can be able to go to Egypt. And it was not until like afterwards that he was finally reunited with them. So in order to do this, to be able to like take your own wife and your own two sons and your children and give them to someone else to care, you must really trust the person. You must really trust that person in whom you are able to give to care for your wife and for your children. So we can see that Moses trusted Jethro. We can see that Moses knew that Jethro had a strong relationship with God because he was a priest. So this is my encouragement for all of you. If we all want to look for our spiritual mentor to help us grow closer to God, to care for us, we should look for someone who we actually trust in. And look for someone who has a strong relationship with God. I mean, look at someone, and maybe you see the way they serve in church, and you admire their relationship with God, that they can be able to serve in that way. Or maybe you admire how well they know the Bible. Or maybe you admire how they are able to go through hard situations in their life, and they always seem happy about it. See, when looking for a mentor, these are some of the things that we should look for. Look for someone who we one day hope that we can imitate, who we can hope to be like. At the same time, we need to have to trust that person. You might find someone in church who sort of meets that characteristic and be like, oh, wow, this is a very godly person. I'd like to be like them, but I don't really feel close to them. I know I don't really talk with them that much, and you know, we don't really have that much in common. So even though you may find someone who is very godly and who you would like to be like, but if you feel like you can't trust them or you haven't built that relationship with them yet, then maybe you shouldn't consider them, at least at this time. Or the other way is to initiate a relationship with them, to try to get to know them and build that trust so that maybe then you can be able to ask them to be your spiritual mentor. And sometimes that spiritual mentor may be the person whom you least would expect it to be. You see, for Moses, Jethro acted as his spiritual mentor, and Jethro was his father-in-law. So I know probably in the Jewish culture, they have very close ties and a very close relationship with probably their in-laws, mother-in-laws, father-in-laws. But in the Western culture, you know, you see it in the media, you see it in movies and in books, always talking about how the relationship between someone and their in-laws usually isn't really that good because there's a lot of conflicts, there's a lot of differences in beliefs and differences in values. So, you know, the person who you would seek as a spiritual mentor might be someone like your father or mother-in-law. I know many of you aren't married yet, so you probably don't have that. But many of you may have or do have parents. You know, as you probably don't think that your parents maybe like can act as your spiritual mentor. And in some cases it may be understandable because your parents may not be a Christian, or your parents, you may feel like you're even a stronger Christian than they are. So I mean there are certain cases like that, but if your parents are strong Christians and they serve in a church, you know, you also can consider them to be your spiritual mentor as well. You know, so don't let like something like this blindside you to considering someone just because you don't really think that they would be a good spiritual mentor, someone like your parents or in-laws in the future or whoever it may be. The two things you should look for is looking for someone who is godly, who has a strong relationship with God, and look for someone whom you can trust. So this is again, this is our question. What should we look for in a spiritual mentor? First thing, we should find someone we can trust who has a strong relationship with God. Now moving on, I think there's another thing that we can look for when we're trying to find a spiritual mentor. Let's see how Jethro interacted with Moses. Continue reading on from verse 8 here in chapter 18. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord has done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for the Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them in the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel, and that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Here's the second thing that we should look for. We should find someone who can share in the joy of hearing of what God has done in your life. You should find someone who can share in the joy of hearing of what God has done in your life. No, see here, Moses, when after being reunited with his family, after seeing his father-in-law, Jethro, they talked. And Moses shared about what God had done in his life, what God had done for the Israels. You know, before, remember, the Israels, they were in Egypt, and they were being held there as slaves. You know, they were worked very hard, many hours a day, and they didn't have that much food, and they were very, very mistreated. And they cried out to God, and you know, Moses shared about, oh, you know, at first, like, God had called me, like, there was this bush, and then it was, like, on fire, and it was, like, talking to me, and God was talking to me through that, you know, really, a bush, a burning bush? What is that about? Yeah, and God was using that to call me to be a leader, to lead all the Israelites out of Egypt. And, you know, of course, when I first, I didn't want to do any of it at all, because I thought, you know, I'm not really good at speaking, and the people won't listen to me, and I was making all these excuses. But, you know, in the end, I trusted God. And then also there are all these like these 10 plagues that happened that God had brought about to try to convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites out. You know, that the Nile River, it turned into blood. There was a frog infestation, a gnat infestation. There's the death of like cattle. Boils even came upon people. A locust infestation eating up all the crops. And even like the greatest thing was like, the worst thing was like the death of like the firstborn of some of the children in the land of Egypt. You know, God had worked all of these plagues in Egypt to try to convince Pharaoh to bring the to let the Israelites go out of Egypt and be free. And finally, Pharaoh did that, and we were about to escape. And then we realized that the Egyptian armies were coming back after us to try to capture us again. But instead, what happened? God had told me to take my staff and to part the Red Sea. So the Red Sea split completely in half, and we started to walk across on dry land to the other side of the sea. And then God told me to use my staff and to close up the Red Sea, and the sea closed up upon the Egyptian army and the horses and the chariots. So, see, Moses was describing this whole story. I only summarized it to Jethro. You see, this is what God has done in my life. This is how God has saved me, how God has saved the Israelites out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And when Jethro, his father-in-law, heard of this, Jethro rejoiced at what God had done. So when we're looking for a spiritual mentor, we want to look for someone who we can share in that joy. We want to look for someone who we can be able to really tell them, hey, this is what God has been doing in my life right now. And he has helped me through this situation. He has helped me through this particular trial. Or maybe, like, can you pray for me about this? And as a result, you have this relationship who's like connected together, but also connected in worshiping God because they're joyful about what God has done. So I personally have a mentor. I have another pastor friend from a different church who I meet up with once in a while. And when we do that, it's like we share about what's been happening in our lives. We share about what's been happening in our churches and the ministries. We share about what are the things that we're struggling about. And I'm very thankful to God that I have this particular mentor, because it's really hard, like, for me, especially as a pastor, to try to find someone or mentorship like within the church. Because as a pastor, any church leader for that matter, you know, we have to always, you know, stand strong. We always have to put like a face that, you know, even if we're going through a lot of hardships, we still have to stay strong and be able to lead and encourage the people. You know, I can't go around just telling people, oh, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that. Although, like, it's good for me to be transparent sometimes. And, you know, sometimes I have to be careful with the things that I share about, because it can go around in the church, and it can have, like, a negative effect on the church overall. So, I mean, I'm very thankful that I have a mentor, another pastor who is also involved in ministry, who understands some of the things that I go through, that can be able to share what has been happening in my life. And I mean, it's not all negative. Like I said, I share about the good things that God has done in my life too. And because of that, we praise God for it. We worship God for it. This is something that you all should look for when you are finding a spiritual mentor. Once you have established this type of relationship where you can be able to meet with this person and share about the good things that God has done in your life, then you are in this constant state of worshiping God. Every single time you see this person, you'll be reminded, oh, I should think and reflect, what has God been doing in my life lately? And how can I thank God for it? How can I praise God for it? What can I be able to share with this person? And this other person would also be thinking the same thing as well. And really, if we have this attitude, not just with our own spiritual mentors, but with everyone here in the church, where whenever we see each other, we want to give a testimony of the great and good things that God has done in our life, we as a church can be a whole body that is constantly worshiping God and praising God and thanking God. So this is why it's important that we need to find someone who can share in the joy of hearing about what God has done in your life. Finally, there's one more thing that I believe that we can look for when we're trying to find someone to be our spiritual mentor. Let's continue on reading from verse 13 here. So you see, like, Moses, he's a very busy man. You know, after Jethro had came back and visited him and brought back his wife and his kids, and he wasn't able to take some time off, take a vacation to just spend time with his family. He had to go back to work. Let's read from verse 13. I am looking in the wrong chapter. No wonder I'm so confused. Verse 13. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people have come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. So Moses is a very busy man. And Moses, he worked as a judge for all the Israelites. From the beginning of the day till the end of the day, Moses sat down and people, the Israelites, would come to him with cases, with disputes between one another. You got small things, you got big things, like, oh, this person stole my cattle or something, or this person didn't pay me back my debt, or whatever like the dispute may be. So from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, Moses has to deal with all of these Israelites coming to him. And he tried to act fair. He tried to act justly, and by reminding the people of what is in God's word. What is God's law? What is his statute? Now, however, his father-in-law noticed that Moses was doing this, and he knew that this wasn't good for him. So let's see how Jethro responded. Continue on. Read from verse 17. Moses' father-in-law said to him, what you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourself out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You're not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. Verse 23, if you do this, God will direct you, you will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. So Jethro had a concern for Moses, because he saw that Moses was overburdening himself. You know, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, he was always dealing with these people, and it's very tiring. So that's why Jethro, as a father-in-law, as someone who is older, someone who is more experienced, someone who is wiser, and acting as his mentor, gave him advice. And what did he tell him to do? He told Moses to appoint different men in the tribe of in the Israelites, men who fear God, men who won't cheat people and take a bribe, men who are just and who know God's word, and put them over groups of people of hundreds, of tens, different numbers, so that the people, when they come with their case and their disputes, they will go to these men first. So they can be able to handle the small cases, but anything big which they cannot really handle, then they can bring to Moses. And as a result, Moses can be lifted from this burden. Moses can be able to serve God more effectively and use his time more wisely. Isn't it great? Isn't it nice if you have someone who can be there to look after you, to see, hey, something doesn't look right in your life, and you know, this is what you should do instead. And Jethro, being a godly man, being a godly person, didn't just simply give his own wisdom, say, you know, Moses, you should do this, and you should listen to me just because I'm your father-in-law, and just because I'm smarter than you, or whatever. No. Jethro didn't appeal to his own authority when he commanded Moses to take his advice, but rather he had encouraged Moses to seek God's will. Look at verse 23. What did Jethro say? If you do this, God will direct you, and you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. I'm reading from the ESV. The NIV says this: if you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. If God so commands. So even though Jethro was telling Moses that he should take his advice, but he should also do so only if so God so commands. And in order to know whether God is commanding him to do so, Moses himself needs to seek God's will. So again, to answer our question, what should we look for when we are finding a spiritual mentor? Here's the third point. We should find someone who can look out for you, but at the same time points you to seek God's will. Again, we should find someone who can look out for you, but at the same time points you to seek God's will. So recently at my house, some of you have been to my house before, but in my living room, I have very, very high ceilings. Probably it's more than 10 feet high. And at the very top, I have like probably four of these light bulbs. Now, one of those light bulbs basically broke or burnt out. So I was thinking, how am I supposed to get all the way up there to change those light bulbs? I tried going up on the balcony and try to reach up higher, but no, my hands aren't long enough to do that. So I thought, you know, the previous house owners, they must have like some sort of tool to be able to get up there. So I went down to my basement and I found that there actually was this type of a tool. It was just a long extendable stick, and at the end of it is a suction cup. So I guess like when you get up there, I extended the stick as long as possible, reached up to the light, I used the suction cup to try to hold on to the light bulb, and then I can be able to turn it. And during this time, my family was actually here to visit me. They're my mom, my dad, and my brother. For the past this past week, they were here to visit, and I had my dad sort of like be there at the bottom just to make sure that I was safe and I was okay. Because I was thinking, if I were to do this alone, you know, what if I were twisting it and I actually didn't get the suction right? And as I unloosened the light bulb, then all of a sudden it just fell down, hit me in the head, and all this glass everywhere, blood everywhere. And then like if I was alone in the house, then I'll probably die. Okay, but that's probably a little bit too extreme and over exaggeration. But it is nice that I had my father right there to be able to look up and be able to, basically he has my back. He's looking out for me. So this is the type of relationship we want to have when we look for a spiritual mentor. This spiritual mentor should always have our back and look out for us. We don't necessarily have to be the person to go up to this person, our spiritual mentor, and say, oh, I'm struggling with this, and this area in my spiritual life isn't going well. Even before we bring it up, our spiritual mentor, by knowing us, by observing our life, should already know that something doesn't seem right, especially when it comes to your relationship with God. And if you have that type of a relationship, that's something that, I mean, you're very blessed, because now you have someone who is looking after you, who can be able to advise you, and more importantly, tell you to seek God's will. And we always constantly need that reminder in our life, to seek God's will in our life. Because a lot of times when we make decisions, what do we go by? Just our own logic, our own reasoning, what seems to make sense to us, what do we seem to get that the best out of it? And we oftentimes just forget about what God is doing in our life. How is God working in our life? So having that reminder also to seek God's will is very important as well. So you see, Jethro here definitely played that role for Moses. Jethro saw something wrong in Moses' life because he was so overburdened by being a judge for all these people from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And he gave his advice and he told Moses to seek God's will. The person who is your spiritual mentor, I guess, should be someone who is probably older, probably wiser than you. And I would advise against like trying to find someone who is probably like the same age as you. Because if you find someone who's the same age as you, you know, they've experienced the same amount in their life. They think the same way as you do. So whatever they would tell you would probably be just reaffirm some of the things that you're already thinking about. Take, for example, let's say that there is this burning building, okay, and it's about to go down. And inside this burning building, there are two men. One man is blind, okay? He can't see anything at all. And a second man is basically paralyzed from his waist down. So, I mean, alone, they can't be able to escape the burning building just by themselves. So they decide to work together. You have the blind man give the paralyzed man a piggyback ride. Okay, so he puts him on his back. And then the paralyzed man, even though he can't walk, but he can see. So he tells the blind man where to go, to try to avoid the fire, try to avoid any debris, and try to get out of that building safely. You see, they need to work together in order to get out of that burning building. But you see, like, this won't work at all if both of the men were blind, right? If you have two blind men in a burning building, I don't think they can be able to get up by themselves. Probably needs firefighters from the outside to come in and get them. I mean, it's also the same thing if both of these men were paralyzed from the waist down. The chances of them surviving and helping each other out of the burning building is very, very small, right? See, that's why when we are looking for a spiritual mentor, don't look for someone who thinks, acts the same as you. Don't look for someone who is in the same life stage as you, because they also need help as much as you do as well. Look for someone who is older, who is more experienced in life. And as we mentioned at the beginning, look for someone who is godly, who has a strong relationship with God, who is where you want to be in the future. Because if you're only asking for help from people who think the same way as you do, then chances are, you know, that it won't be good. Let us review everything that we've learned from this example of Jethro and Moses. So again, we had asked the question of what should we look for in a spiritual mentor, and we said that there are three things. The first thing is that we should find someone who we trust, who has a strong relationship with God. So someone who has a strong relationship with God and someone who you trust. Second, we should find someone who we can share in the joy of hearing about what God has done in our life. Because when we constantly share about what God has done in our life, we are worshiping God, and that is a constant reminder for us to do so. And finally, the third thing, we should find someone who can look out for you and also point you to seek God's will. You know, this is very important. You know, everyone, I want you to listen up. I want you to know that God loves you and that God does care for you. And He uses the people that He places in our life to be able to help us grow closer to Him. If you don't have a spiritual mentor, I encourage you to try to find someone. Find someone who is godly, someone who you can trust. Find someone who you can worship with and share what God is doing in your life. Find someone who has got your back and who can be able to point you to always seek God's will. Now, on the other hand, you might find that it's probably very hard to find this type of a spiritual mentor. But at the same time, have you ever considered that God may use you to be a spiritual mentor? So, like, with these three points, let's, like, turn it around a bit. Rather than making them points for someone that you should look for, make them points about the person that you should be. Because God could use you to be a spiritual mentor for someone else. And if God wants you to be a spiritual mentor, then first, know that someone will be looking for you to be a person who has a strong relationship with God and someone who you can trust. So this means that for you, you should try to grow in your relationship with God first. How is your relationship with God right now? Do you spend time with God by reading His Word every day? Do you spend time with God in prayer and asking for His will in your life? If we have a strong relationship with God, then we can be able to lead and guide others to have a strong relationship with God. Also, you need to be relational with people. you need to spend time with other people to be able to, in a sense, have a close relationship with them, to gain their trust. Don't expect that people will automatically come up to you and ask you to disciple them or ask you to mentor them, especially if you aren't very close with them. So as a Christian, it's also important for us to really learn how to be friends, learn how to be a human being and build relationships with other people. Are you also someone who worships God in your heart, who is also very thankful to God? Because if you want to model this in a discipleship relationship, in a mentorship relationship, then you also need to start by worshiping God in your heart and thanking God for what He has done in your life. And then finally, are you observant of the people around you? Now, sometimes, like, if we look around in a church, we see, wow, I never noticed that there's this particular individual who always seems to sit by themselves. Or I never noticed that there's this person, she seems like she's going through a very hard time in her life. Or there's this person who doesn't seem like their relationship with God is going well. You know, we need to be observant of these things in order to have this skill of knowing how to help people. If you're going to be a spiritual mentor to someone, you need to put to practice how to care for other people and how to see and notice things in their life. You know, God can use you to be a blessing for other people as well. So it's my encouragement for all of you that we should try to find a spiritual mentor. Now again, we're so willing to find a tutor, a mentor, or a teacher for our instruments, for our schooling, for whatever it is, but how come we aren't that willing or that immediate to try to find someone to help us in our own spiritual life, in our relationship with God? So let's all try to find someone who can spiritually mentor us. And also at the same time, let's consider how God may use us and prepare us to be a person who can mentor other people. Both of these cases requires us to trust God. If anything, one of the main lessons that I want us to remember is that we should trust God. We need to trust that God will provide us with this type of person to mentor us, to help us grow. But at the same time, we also need to trust that God will equip us and train us to be the person who can mentor others as well. So it is my prayer, it is my encouragement that all of us will consider this whole concept of spiritually mentoring one another. Imagine if everyone in the church really cared about one another, if everyone in the church mentored one another and cared about each other's lives and their spiritual lives in particular, how much different would our church be? How much more love would there be? How much more would people grow closer to God? How many more people will even come to know God in the first place? For Christians, we believe that Jesus died on a cross for our sins. This is something great. This is a free gift from God, to know that by accepting it, we can be in heaven with God for all of eternity and have our sins be forgiven. This great thing that has happened in our lives, it should change us. It should cause us to want to share about it with others, and it should cause us to want to help others to grow closer to Him. This is one of the core things we should remember if we want to be a spiritual mentor to other people. And this is a core thing that we should remember if we want to look for someone who can mentor us. Because after all, the main goal is for us to grow, to know God, and to grow in God. I'm going to close us in prayer. We're going to also respond in worship. And afterwards, we're going to be breaking up into small groups continue to discuss about what we have learned from God's Word today. Would you please bow your head as we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You again. Thank You for teaching us for what's in Your Word. And really, Lord, we may feel like we have heard this message before. We may feel like we have heard it a lot of times that about the importance of discipleship and having a spiritual mentor. But Lord, we thank You that You're constantly reminding us about this. Because even though we may heard of it a lot of times, but are we actually applying it in our life? Father, I pray that You would raise up people in our church who can see the needs of people in our church, and who has the burden to mentor and disciple one another. And Lord, we pray that through your Holy Spirit that you would actually speak through your hearts. Maybe you are calling us. Maybe that you are using us to try to be that person for us, for someone else who is also in spiritual need. Father, we trust that you would provide us with our needs. We trust that you would equip us and raise us up to be the leaders, to be the men and women that you want us to be. And Father, I also pray for those of us who are here today, who may be here visiting the church for the first time, or hearing about Jesus and how he is God and how he can provide salvation to us, and be wondering, like, why do Christians like come together and worship God every Sunday? Does God really exist? Lord, if there are any of us among us here today, I pray that you also speak to them as well, to show that you indeed are the true and living God, and that they can find salvation through believing in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we just want to lift you up and we want to praise you. We ask that you continue to be with us in our time of worship, and also later on as we break up into small groups and enjoy one another in fellowship. We lift up all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.